This is The Guardian.
Before you listen to today's episode, a warning, there's some swearing.
This week, Politics Weekly is in Redcar in the northeast of England, where the Labour candidate and former MP Anna Turley is hoping to regain her seat from the Tories.
Yeah, it felt like we were a long, long way from being able to win a seat like Redcar back and win a country back again. And here we are 4 years later.
But she's up against a Tory incumbent, backed by a regional mayor who's managed, somewhat controversially, to bring some investment to Redcar when it's still suffering from the closure of the local steelworks.
Absolutely ashamed to say I'm going to vote Tory, but I'm going to do it. But you know what? It doesn't matter who gets in. They don't do it the likes of me any favours.
Labour has to win here. So will it do it? And what does the contest here say about the rest of the so-called Red Wall? I'm John Harris and you're listening to Politics Weekly UK for The Guardian. Excuse me, this must sound like a strange question, but are these new houses as far as you understand it?
These ones are. Yeah.
How old?
Pretty new compared to around here, really.
So it's quite a lot changed it. We're in South Bank on the edge of Middlesbrough.
Not really.
It used to be a thriving industrial area, full of life.
It's all derelict now. Got a bit of church derelict down there as well.
Well, where's all those empty pubs then? Are they still there?
Majority of them are gone now, bud.
Well, they demolished a lot of it. It feels very, very similar to when I was here last, which was 9 years ago. Which is that you have a community here living amidst sort of post-industrial decline, really. There's a lot of shuttered shops. There's a big shuttered church over there. It's a place sort of really full of ghosts, you know. And the past really sits heavily on it. Because as soon as you see anything shuttered or boarded up, you think, well, what did that used to be? What used to go on there? There's a sense there was much more life here when this was a sort of thriving industrial place. And there's just a tremendous, quite moving sense of neglect, really. The interesting thing is if you spend any amount of time here, you find local people who really work hard on keeping the place together and try to turn it round. You know, there's a lot of really amazing community work goes on here.
Hello. We are journalists. We travel around talking to
one people. Of those people is Sandra, who runs the local credit union.
South Bank this morning. A few of them have said we should come here and talk to you.
I like that.
Because they said what you do is brilliant.
Well, yeah, we do, but there you go.
Thank you.
No bother.
I've been here a few times down the years doing journalism, right? But also my family's from here on my mum's side. The family had a chip shop here years ago on Middlesbrough Road. But it's not a chip shop now. No. It's gone now,
yeah,
right?
All of the shops have gone.
They've all gone. Are you from South Bank?
I am.
Tell me about the place. I'll tell you why, because I talk to people here, particularly men, I'll be honest, right? And they tell a story about decline. They always say, used to be like this and now it's like this.
It did.
And I want to be fair to the place, right? But it's sort of unavoidable at the same time, right?
I'm born and bred. I was born just over there in a house and it was fine. We had a really good community, loads of shops, loads of everything. In the early 80s, the town started to decline. Asda came in, took away all the shops, everything went off the main street. This is the main street that it's standing on. We had a very diverse range of shops, from butchers, bakers. I'll even go to the candlestick maker. We had Bongo Bills. We had music shop. We had everything that you could ever ask for. We had three local dairies delivering milk every day. There's five things on the high street right now. A mosque. A hostel, a bank, one Chinese, and a burger shop, and that's it. Out of about 60 to 70 individual shops. Wow.
And this, obviously, among other things, is a credit union, right?
Yes.
You're also selling kids' clothes? And,
yes.
And
basically, because we're not funded, we are a members' bank, and the building now belongs to the credit union members, and it's very difficult to maintain and keep up. People donate things to us. The most we ever charge for anything is £5, and that can be for a brand new washing machine or anything else. And that's just to help us keep the lights on.
But also, presumably, you're helping people who are struggling, who can't afford a washing machine or clothes for their kids or whatever.
Of course. I mean, we purchase toilet rolls in bulk and kitchen rolls in bulk. everybody sees everybody struggling, but nobody looks behind.
Just tell me what you mean by that.
People say that there's a food shortage and food crisis and everything else. The food crisis goes a lot further than that. It goes into the basics of washing powder, Lenar. You can go into many households, and the one thing that they don't have is soap. So, yeah, we will provide that for them. They're going about children being unkept. There's a reason for that. There's a cost behind it.
And I know what the answer to this will be, I think. The level of need over the last 10 years, maybe?
The last three, 4 years since COVID, it's been dramatic, absolutely dramatic here in South Bank.
So you think, obviously, we know immediately after the pandemic, it's a great big cost of living crisis, right? But at the same time, what the experience of lockdown and what people had to go through, they're still recovering from.
They are, definitely. Every day I see somebody else in dire need.
But in the last 3 or 4 years, 2 or 3 years even, have you seen any regeneration or revival you've tried in South Bank involving money?
No.
Okay. How do you feel about the election?
Pretty scared.
Why are you scared?
I think it's going to could be very close, and I think personally we're going to end up possibly with somebody that I personally can't work with and don't want.
Who is that?
I can say Anna Turley. She destroyed this community the last time she was in.
Oh, that's a bit strong. I'm not sure a local MP can destroy a place. What did she do wrong?
Well, she allowed our works to close.
Oh, the steelworks.
The steelworks.
So who are you going to vote for?
I've already done my vote, and I've voted for Jacob.
You voted Conservative? Yeah. Forgive me. I'm in South Bank in Middlesbrough. Mm-hmm. You've just said the last 14 years has seen poverty increase, the level of want and need go through the roof.
It's been the last 30 years, 40 years even.
And had you voted Conservative? Had you voted Conservative prior to voting for Jacob Young?
No.
That was a new thing.
No.
Wow.
I'm not Conservative, I've got to say. And I vote for the person that's going to do the best job for us. I can't stand behind the Labour at all. Here in my hometown, they were in South Bank for over 40 years, uncontested. And they allowed all this to happen. They allowed all the terraced houses to be taken down. They allowed all these big supermarkets to come in and take away our individuality of a high street.
Thank you.
I did, when I was going out, I thought, I'm not going to speak to them.
Oh, no.
Oh, thank you.
We appreciate it.
Excuse me, sir. Outside, we bump into Mick, who's doing his morning shopping.
Can I talk to you for a minute?
Yeah, of course you can, yeah.
Tell me about South Bank.
I didn't.
How do you mean?
It's a shit hole.
Why do you say that?
Well, because it is.
When did it change, do you think?
Oh, God, I might have been like this for quite a while now, like. But there's nothing here, only pizza shops now, to what it used to be years ago.
Feels a bit unloved here, doesn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah, yeah. And I don't think the council are doing a very good job.
You're retired, presumably, sir?
Oh, well, I am, yeah, yeah.
What did you used to do?
I've had a various number of jobs, about 20 jobs.
But did you work in South Bank at all?
Yeah, I worked at Smith Dock, South Bank.
Well, shipbuilding.
Got made redundant, I worked over the steelworks in South Bank. Quite a number of jobs.
So that industrial past, right, that was your life, right?
Oh, yeah, it was basically near our South Bank's life. Everyone was employed by either British Steel or British Shipbuilders, Smith Docks. And now, local people can't get jobs now. Because there isn't one.
Right, here's a question.
Go on then.
This place, for years, had a Labour MP, Labour councillor.
Of course they did.
Went Lib Dem for a bit. But then you returned a Tory last time, Mr. Young, right?
Yeah, you know why?
Go on.
Because the Labour candidate for this area is rubbish. She doesn't come from the place. I can't see what she's done.
So this is Anna Turley, your previous MP.
Anna Turley,
yeah. She's hung around. She's still running for the seat. I think she still lives in the constituency. Did you vote last time?
I voted for Jacob Young. I've never voted Conservative in my life, ever, until the last time. Because Anna Turley done absolutely nothing for this constituency.
It's be rarer than hen's teeth, Tory voters around here.
You're telling me, I know, yeah. Well, look, the constituent, it went last time, didn't it?
I would say from the outside, find it interesting that you'd vote Conservative, given that Margaret Thatcher had a large role in the decline that this place suffered from.
Yeah, but Margaret Thatcher didn't represent this constituency.
And do you think Jacob Young does?
Yes, I do, yeah.
Will you vote for him again?
I will.
Wow.
Yeah, I will, honestly, yeah. Yeah. I can't see. I'll tell you something else while I vote for him again. I don't like Keir Starmer. He's a jumped up rich man.
He's not. He's from a, his father was a toolmaker. So is it him or is it local things that's turning you off the Labour Party?
It's him and local things. Both. It's both. It's absolutely both. I feel ashamed to say I'm going to vote Tory, but I'm going to do it.
You sound like you're a convinced Conservative voter now, though.
I'm not convinced about... do you want me to tell you something? I'm not convinced about any of them. In fact, I'm not sure if I'm going to vote. But you know what? It doesn't matter who gets in. They don't do the likes of me any favours. They don't, none of them.
But you seem to think Jacob Young's different, slightly.
He's slightly different because he's done more for this constituency than Labour have done in the last time.
And just tell me again, last question, what you've seen change here because of having a Conservative MP.
Teesworks for a kick-off. The airport, keep the airport open. That's a big thing.
Well, that's the politics of, you know, I hate using this phrase, but it is used, the red wall. That's what it's all about very often, particularly among older people, is the idea that the Labour Party sort of had a political monopoly on lots of places, particularly in the north of England, right? And people didn't see him change and they declined. And if you get that plus the great political turnabout of Brexit, you ended up with people voting Conservative. But also the Conservative MP and now candidate, Jacob Young, for this place. The people we've spoken to like him and they think he's visible and he's been a champion for the area. And he can point, for all there's been stories and controversies about Teesworks, he can point at this huge regeneration project overseen by the Conservative Mayor, Ben Houchen, and they got a strong story. Since I came here thinking it was going to be, in my naivety, thinking this would be a sort of a slam dunk for Labour to win back. And so far, it doesn't feel like that.
So this here over to the left now, that is where the blast furnace sat.
We're with Paul Warren, a former steelworker in the area who's now a national officer with the community union.
Do you know what's going to go there eventually?
This is the hydrogen net zero plant that's going to be there. You would have to...
He's taken us on a tour around the old site of the steelworks. It closed in 2015, which had a huge impact on thousands of people in the area.
Behind the wagon at the moment. So once the wagon...
That was a family. That was one big family. And that's what I mean. We all cared and we all looked after each other. It was grimy, it was dirty, it was mucky. You called it worse than the worst name in the world sometimes. But I've spoke to so many people since and they've gone and found other work and other jobs. People have phoned me up and said, right, they've asked me to work a Saturday night, Paul, and they're giving me no extra money, like shift allowance. And I'm like, right, yeah, okay. Have you negotiated it? Is it in the terms and conditions? And no, nothing. You just get normal. Not only was it good money, but the terms and conditions that a lot of people realise now afterwards, they were really wanting.
When a big unionised workplace goes, people have to enter parts of the economy where trade unions aren't there. Mm-hmm. Negligible sort of presence. Yeah. And again, that's a big change. Yeah. Right? You got no one has your back all of a sudden.
No.
Do you think the steelworks closure and the loss of that many jobs changed the politics of this place?
Yes, in the fact that, well, the politics did change. I don't think anyone knew who could help us, but we certainly knew that the rules that we were playing with didn't assist the steel industry and something had to change. And we were always told and convinced that if we were out of the EU, then people could step in and assist. But that came too late for us.
But do you think what a lot of people here, 66% I think was the proportion, voted for Brexit in the hope that it might somehow revive the steel industry?
I don't know about the steel industry, but industry in general where people can step in and help.
Because of the European state aid rule. So some generalised way, people had that thought that if we're outside the EU...
Well, we can help you then. Yeah.
But the other thing that happened here, as you know, in 2019, was that this place... got a Conservative MP, returned a Conservative MP. And this morning, I have met older people, lifelong Labour voters.
Who would prefer Jacob Young in as a Conservative.
Yes, you've guessed it already.
And Simon Clarke up in Middlesbrough.
Right, even now. Now, this is at a time when all the opinion polls say that these seats are going back to Labour, mm-hmm. right? And the first people I meet in Southbank are two Labour voters who say they feel awful about it still.
This is predominantly a Labour area, right. Southbank, Grangetown and whatever. Yeah.
So what's going on there? Is that related to industrial decline?
I think they've seen so much happen in the steelworks since the closure 2015. People just, they've been let down so many times. They don't feel as though they've been supported. They haven't seen regeneration. They haven't seen anything new.
I've a good example, right? So 4 weeks ago, I was in Stoke-on-Trent, right? Now, they talk about levelling up there and some stuff has happened, but they've got nothing like Teesworks, right? If you're a conservative here, irrespective of the controversies about Ben Houchen and Teesworks, and there are quite a few of those, right? Nonetheless, they feel that something is happening and something's changed.
Yeah, they've latched on, they've seen it, they've seen change, they've visually seen it. I mean, if you go, obviously, up the hills, and I know a lad who goes up regular, you know, maybe walks his dog every day, and you look over the site, and he says every week you can see something else getting developed. Now, you know, that's the Freeport, that's an attraction. They've took the bull by the horns, and it's talking it up. They're talking it up, and as long as I live, I'll never ever vote Conservative, unfortunately.
I was going to say, so you haven't been affected by this?
No.
You haven't felt that pull to the Conservative Party that other people have? But it sounds like you understand why people switched.
Yep, absolutely, because I sit amongst them. I sit amongst these people at regular. I think in these areas, in another 15 years, if neither continue to do nothing or it doesn't come to fruition, there's a lot of people who would be voting differently in 10, 15 years.
Oh, they might go a bit Farage-y.
That's for sure. When I go out, that is all I hear.
What do you hear?
That they would wish that the Freeform would get in.
But the point is, if then things don't change, people have already changed once. They've gone from Labour to Conservative. Mm-hmm. And now your point is that if things don't change again, then they'll move once more and they'll go Conservative Reform.
Yeah. Potentially.
And so you've completed a journey from Labour to the far right.
Wherever we're going to end up in 10 or 15 years' time, and I don't know where we're going to end up, but I've got a bit of a vision. It won't be the same political parties that we're dealing with.
Let me ask you one more question as a matter of record. Because two people you spoke to in South Bank were very negative about Anna Turley, the former Labour MP who's standing again, saying she did nothing for this area and all the rest of it. What's your understanding of Anna Turley's role in the steelworks story?
Anna worked hard because she worked alongside me. So,
but why do people say that?
I think it's purely just that they couldn't do nothing. Their hands were tied. It happened so fast. I actually went to meetings after the 2nd of October with Anna, and she tried really, really hard to do deals. I don't buy that Anna never tried one little bit. She tried really hard. She was there at the forefront. She didn't shy away from putting her opinion across and trying to get as much assistance as we can.
So as you understand it, people partly blame Anna Turley unfairly for the closure of the steelworks.
I think she gets more criticism for the Brexit than what she gets for the
steelworks. What, for the fact she wasn't a Brexiter?
Yeah, she gets more criticism for that than what she does for the steelworks. But if you mention the steelworks now, it's just the Labour Party never did nothing for us and the Conservatives never did nothing for us.
In recent years, child poverty has spiked in Redcar. So we've come to Whale Hill Primary School in Eston to meet head teacher Sandra Marsden and her deputy Paul Forster, who've seen all this happen firsthand.
Credit union. You're again in your car.
In your bike.
Forgive me asking you a question as blunt as this. How much do you see kids who are hungry regularly?
I think breakfast is probably one of the challenges. We do see children coming in and will ask. Yeah, they would often mention to staff that they are hungry.
I mean, it's easy to say, oh, children come to school hungry, and that's heartbreaking and awful. But then what that means to that child in terms of their well-being, but also how they get on in school, you know.
I think it affects levels of concentration and just that energy. We do have some children who fall asleep in school. Now, whether or not that's a medical or whether it is just a lack of energy and hunger, I don't know, but you know, we do come across that. Or children perhaps who come to school with sort of not an adequate breakfast. And again, through no fault of the parents, it's just they're spending their money on what, you know, they stretch it as far as they can.
They used to call them the jam families, didn't they? Just about managing. You've got some parents working two and three jobs to make ends meet. But they are the families on this estate, parents and the children, are the nicest people you could ever come across. There's real, real community here.
How do you feel sort of seeing what we've talked about emotionally? It must be hard not to take it home a lot of the time.
I think we do take it home naturally as teachers. We take every problem home with us and try and find a solution. But I think we're some way away from resolving all these, you know, poverty issues that we're seeing.
And there's some, I mean, anecdotally, there's some, we're talking professionals, nurses, teachers on the estate that are struggling too. It's kind of like a perfect storm of cuts in terms of funding, which coincided with the pandemic. So it's often hard to place your finger on what has caused that. You know, you're not sure of whether it is those cuts to services, because things like SureStart, I mean, it's immeasurable the effect that the SureStart centres going has had.
Have you things lost like... SureStart centres here? Mm-hmm. How many have you lost?
All of them closed. We've got hubs that were SureStart premises, but the actual SureStart is no longer, and definitely those parents miss that. We've got more children than ever coming in, pull-ups and nappies, aren't toilet trained, so staff are spending more and more time changing nappies. The advice isn't there for these new parents, and I think some families struggle without that. More and more families being in crisis and actually reaching out to schools because they haven't had anywhere else to turn. So
you become the sort of de facto children's centre almost, for want of there being anything else.
Yes.
What do you need that you haven't got?
Specialist places for send pupils, which again, we're managing these pupils in school that, and it's actually really cruel because we can't meet their needs in our building. We haven't got the provision for them. So definitely to increase send places. Any pay rises awarded, they need to be fully funded so we can keep the level of staff we've got, because the problem only becomes greater if you've got less staff but bigger needs to deal with.
I'd say outside the school gates, and it doesn't seem to be on many agendas, as in every town and city in the country, is the drugs problem, because that transcends everything. That should be, for me, every town and city in the country, that's a huge problem.
That's so-called county line, some of that as well, is it?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's people selling crack and heroin, presumably, as well.
Yeah. That's the thing.
It's interesting that 20 or 30 years ago, probably, they were thought of as city problems.
Yeah.
You know? Mm. But just to sort of point out that this isn't all a veil of tears and all that.
No, this is, like we said, this is a wonderful estate with huge aspirations. And
presumably you see kids and you send on their way with high hopes and aspirations who are going to achieve pretty amazing things, right?
Yeah, we'll show you our aspirations wall in a minute. I mean, I hate class, but I love aspiration. But the aspiration narrative is quite often in towns like this, make something of yourself and move away, where it should be, make something of yourself, stay here. A rising tide lifts all ships, but we need to see that levelling up, you know, in reality.
So this is our aspiration walk here.
A few weeks ago, Keir Starmer and Wes Streeting visited the school on the campaign trail with the Labour candidate Anna Turley. Like us, they got a tour of the aspiration wall.
This looks like where you might end up if you're up to no good.
No, it's
not.
The other way
I remember standing in corridors like this.
So this is our these are
people who've been pupils here.
Yeah.
So this is quite something. There's photographic portraits and biographies of people who've been to school here who've then gone to achieve great things. Harry Tribe, fashion designer. Georgia Rooney, civil engineer.
Wish my school had done this.
Do you remember these people?
Yes, taught quite a few of them.
Yeah, they're all fairly recent.
That's great, though, isn't it?
It's just, like I say, it's just showcasing what's out there, you know.
You're following in the footsteps of Stan.
Please do read the music.
We drive over to Redcar High Street, where the town centre is visibly run down. We're on our way to the beach when I see a very visually arresting shopfront. Rediscover Redcar, Redcar Town Deal Project. And then underneath the opening hours, as a logo I've seen in one or two places I've been recently, it says powered by Levelling Up, funded by UK government and the Tees Valley Mayor, that's Ben Houch. We should find out what this is. Really sorry to bother you.
No,
we're journalists. We work for the Guardian.
No worries,
quick.
But I probably can't offer you any quotations.
No, I can't. I just want, as a point of information, right?
Yes.
The man inside the shop told us Redcar had been earmarked for Levelling Up cash and sent us on our way to find some of what's come of that.
Yes, 25 million from Redcar.
And Town Deal money paid for that, did it?
Yes.
Right, we're going to go and find that. We don't get as far as the said regeneration, but we do bump into Katie and Michelle at the Boathouse Cafe. There's a shop and it's got all like artistic representations of what Redcar's going to look like in the future.
Right, I haven't seen that.
No, I haven't heard that.
So is it like the first stirrings of a new sort of idea of what Redcar could be, maybe?
Hopefully.
How's Redcar doing?
It's not really doing very well, is it? Obviously, they're piling the money over on the seafront. But once you go into the high street, then no, there's nothing really going on over there.
Do you think that's going to change? I think there's talk of redeveloping some of it.
There's always talk, isn't there? But whether they'll do it is another question.
Right. The election is this week. Mm. Are you not going to vote?
No. I'm one of those. Don't start. No, don't start.
Are you going to?
I'm voting.
Tell me what's in your head when you vote and who you're probably going to vote for.
What's in my head is I read the manifestos, the policies that benefit me. It's a harsh thing, but you've got to go, what do I need? I'm 20, I'm looking at housing, I'm looking at uni fees, I'm looking at stuff like that. So I'm looking for a party that's going to actually care.
And who are you voting for?
I'm going Labour.
Are you?
Yeah. Working class town, working class family, whole life.
Couldn't. Yeah, so it's kind of inconceivable that you'd vote Conservative.
I would never vote Tory. The state the party is and the state the party's had on the country for the past however long, I would not vote Tory.
We met older people this morning in South Bank, which is quite a neglected run. It's where my granddad's from. You know, it's quite a sort of neglected, forlorn sort of place. We met older people there who were voting Conservative, who voted Labour all their lives.
Yeah.
And started voting Tory in 2019 and are voting Tory again. Because they talk about Ben Houchen and Tees Works and levelling up and all that. What do you make of that?
I mean, the levelling up, as a young person, I haven't seen a lot of what was promised. And you're like, oh, this money's promised for all these things. And then you're like, yeah, but where is it? Where's the stuff that you promised? Where is the investment? Where's all that like?
And in voting Labour, do you think things will be better in 4 or 5 years' time?
The saying's always, if it's not broke, don't fix it. But clearly it's broke. So there's got to be something that we can do. There's got to be somebody else who can have a different look at it, even if it doesn't work, and then we vote somebody else in and they try. But you've got to be confident that the change that you're making is one that will hopefully benefit.
You have some faith.
I have some faith. I have a bit. We'll see how it goes.
Thank you so much.
All right,
thanks a lot. It's hard reporting on something that a lot of people tell you that, you know, they're not really convinced about and they don't feel is important. And some people, you know, carrying on voting for this government that's ruined the country over 14 years. So there's a sense of sort of relief occasionally meeting somebody who's voting for a change in a sort of realistic spirit as well. And maybe that's part of the story too, in the sense that Katie there, she was voting Labour just because she felt she had to believe in something, you know. So it's still tentative, isn't it? It's still got doubt in there. But that's the doubt that's leavened with the merest hint of optimism. That might be as good as we get in this election.
Is it not that? The lift.
No, it's bigger than that.
Is it down a bit?
A 20-minute drive south of Redcar is the more affluent seaside town of Saltburn.
I just walked down.
No, I want to get the lift.
Okay, we're running late, though.
We're here to meet Anna Turley on the pier, and I'm dragging the team around trying to find the funicular tram.
All right, let's take the steps.
You bastard. I don't know how we're going to get back up to the town.
But on our way, we go down a street with lots of Labour posters. Right, so we decide to stop and door knock.
Somebody in. Or a lonely dog.
I see the dog at the window.
Come on. Hello, I'm really sorry to bother you. We work for The Guardian for our sins, right?
Right, okay.
And we're touring around the country for the election.
Right.
And we're in Saltburn. You've got a Labour poster in your window.
Several.
Are you a member or a Labour supporter?
I'm both.
Are you?
Yeah.
Why is it important that you have a Labour poster in your window? Particularly here, right, in this constituency.
Because it recently, well, at the last election it changed. It went Conservative. And I think people need to be reminded that there is a real problem here of not turning out to vote.
Ah, that's why. Yeah. You think people will assume it's a foregone conclusion and not show up?
That's my big worry, yes.
And they're in a sort of somewhat doubtful, tentative mood generally, people, it seems to me.
That's right. They're just fed up with politics.
You seen any Tory posters anywhere?
No.
Is that a reflection of Saltburn as a town, or would you expect to see a few?
I suspect it's a reflection of the way the Tories are feeling at the moment, or Tory supporters. They don't want to be identified as a Tory supporter. However, there's a Reforms poster over there. That's Barry, ground floor.
Lovely to meet you.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Right. Well. Union Jack Bunting. Someone's coming. Hello. Is your name Barry, sir?
Yes.
So we're journalists. We work for The Guardian for our sins. Don't hold it against us. And we're covering the election for The Guardian. We make their podcast like a radio programme.
Yeah.
And your neighbour over there, who has a Labour poster in his window,
yeah,
said we might call here to get a different point of view.
Okay.
Can I ask you two very quick questions? Tiny little questions.
Yeah.
Why have you got a Reform poster in your window?
Because at the present time, the country is in a mess. And I think it's the only party that's going to put things right.
What if I said they made the mess, that Brexit's the mess? It's the same people.
Brexit wasn't a mess. Right. It's a fallacy. It's not. I was happy with the outcome.
But like three issues that have drawn you to Reform?
Well, we overpopulated, and we know why. Because they're letting a lot of people in that shouldn't be here.
Okay, next one.
Well, I was in Casualty a while back, and I went at 6 o'clock in the evening and didn't get out at 6 o'clock till the next morning, and I had to get a taxi home, and it was very busy, and I had my eyes open to what these people have to put up with in these hospitals.
A lot of immigrants work in the National Health Service. Sort of keep it going, arguably.
Well, the immigrants that work in are usually doctors and others who have paid a lot of money to get their qualifications. I'm not talking about people who come here legally and go through all. I'm on the one about coming home illegally.
Right. But you think Reform is going to, if it got near power, which it won't for a while, but
if it's right, what they say,
the health service.
They don't, they're calling it a manifesto. It's an agreement, isn't it? It's a contract. So if they do the things of the contract, we will get back, hopefully back to normal. Well, what is normal, but better than what the circumstances are now.
Last question. What if voting Reform splits the non-Labour vote and Labour gets in?
I mean, my views on people who vote Labour, my father voted Labour, his father, and it was for the working man. Their views is not for the working man.
Right.
He's not a man of the people.
Are you thinking the word Mr. Farage was given the chance would, it'd be for the working man?
Well, yeah, I think he'd make things a lot fairer for everybody, quite honest.
Brilliant. Thank you. Right.
Thank you very much. See you
later.
Bye-bye.
See you. Thank you.
Wow.
Thanks.
Hi.
All right, it's nice
just
to be here.
To Saltburn now, brilliant. All right, we'll see you in a few minutes.
It's Monday afternoon, we're in Saltburn, it's raining, and we have an appointment, a successful appointment with Anne Turley, the Labour candidate, who I've met in 2015.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That 4 years, 4 years before Jacob Young won, right?
That's right,
yeah. So here's a question. How did you feel when the seat was lost to the Conservatives?
Oh, I think, like a lot of people, absolutely devastated, because I felt like we'd worked really hard to try and set out a positive vision for people, but I knew it was a really difficult time. There were so many issues going on at that point. You know, Brexit, Jeremy Corbyn, the Labour Party was offering things that people just didn't believe that we could afford. The party had been kind of struggling for quite a few years, and, you know, Boris Johnson had this kind of get Brexit done. People were sick of all the kind of arguing, and it ploughed through. And, yeah, we got our worst results since the 1930s, and I honestly thought that was it.
When did you feel that perhaps the idea that you'd be out of office here for a long, long time began to start to recede?
I had great confidence in Keir, but I still, like many people, thought he'll never do it in one term, you know. Okay. So seeing gradually the shift, seeing the Tories just go from horror show to horror show, and I thought, people can't want this anymore. People can't want this chaos, this mendacity, the lies. People have got to start to see through it, and they did, you know. And then
you've been on the stump for a long time.
Well,
haven't you?
It's true. But it's true. I mean, but this is what people, you know. I've been out. I started door knocking quite a lot over the last couple of years, just to test the water, see where people were. And the same things were there actually that were there in 2019. But no one's listened to us. You know, we're cost of living's through the roof.
Yeah, yeah.
We're struggling. NHS is on its knees. The issues that people were still angry about in 2019 hadn't been solved, and that's why we're back.
In this area of the country, it's not quite horror show after horror show, in the sense that we met people today in South Bank who were lifelong Labour voters, who voted Tory in 2019, and I'm sorry to have to tell you this, and there's only two of them, it's not science, but they were voting Tory again. And when we asked one of them why that was, among their reasons was Teasworks and Ben Houchen, and he said, Jacob Young fights hard, he's lived here. You know, he was campaigning there when he was an absolute no-hoper, he was knocking on doors, you know. They could point at Teasworks and say something's happened here and it's because of Conservative politicians.
Well, I totally get that. I mean, but let's not forget, first of all, the Conservatives closed the steelworks and, you know, they had that absolute devastation. 2015 wasn't inevitable. Of course, people want hope. They want that jobs. They want the investment. And people are willing to overlook a lot of the issues around how Ben Houchen and others have handled things. I mean, because we all want jobs. And the Labour Party...
Does that mean it's tighter?
Well, Ben Houchen was the only mayor that survived. You know, but he still had a 17% swing against him, and people don't recognise he had one of the biggest swings in the country. So, you know, there are a lot of people whose eyes have seen who are not happy with the way that he's handled things. We've got a fantastic opportunity here and a great policy and a strategy for industry.
Right.
I'm going to have to go.
It's Fergal Sharkey here because sewage has been pumped into the sea.
Absolutely. It's already been pumping sewage into Saltburn.
Hello, my friend. It's been remarkable.
Thank you so much for coming.
Hello. How are you?
Can I ask you a quick question? I quote an Undertones title. Is it going to happen?
Here's how this works. I operate a bad pun levy system.
It's not a pun, it's that, a title.
That just called you 20 quid. Obviously, yes. There's no point in asking the question. Dead cert. Clearly going to happen. You have three new Labour MPs standing around you right now. We'll discuss more of that in a minute.
We're sheltering from the rain outside an amusement arcade at the other end of Saltburn Pier from the Labour gathering that's happening down there. It's easy and quite tempting when you're on the road to reduce a constituency to a single story, like everything's simple, and it's not, and it's particularly not here. This is a complicated place, and the politics are complicated, reflecting that. You know, there's a lot of places here and a lot of people experiencing pretty deep social problems that have got a lot worse over the last 14 years. There are also places like this, like Saltburn, that are doing well and sort of coming up. And I have seen here one of the few really, really impressive examples, for all the justified controversy swirling around it, of what some people call levelling up. But I can also sense change in the air. I think everywhere we've been on these trips, people have spoken to us, or a lot of people have, with a sense that things can't go on like this. Something's got to change. For all their doubt and their tentative view of what politicians are offering, that's what kind of burns through. And the same applies here. So I suppose I hobble towards Thursday with a slight spring in my step. Thank you to Whale Hill Primary School, Paul Warren and Anna Turley for speaking to us. We approached the Conservative candidate Jacob Young for an interview, but he said he wasn't available. I hope you enjoyed all our episodes on the road, and if you missed any, you can listen to them. Just search for Politics Weekly UK wherever you get your podcasts. I'll be back with Pippa and Kieran for a special post-election episode on Friday the 5th of July. I also wanted to let you know about a special event on the 5th of July at 7:30 p.m. The Guardian Newsroom Election Results Special. You can join our colleagues Hugh Muir, Gabby Hinsliff, John Crace, Jonathan Freeland and Zoe Williams for analysis of the results, and they'll be taking your questions too. Book a ticket at theguardian.live. This episode was produced by Frankie Toby. The original music is by Axel Cacoutier, and the executive producers are Maz Ebtahaj and Nicole Jackson.
This is The Guardian.